Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Ryan Von Dyen. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan. Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking so much. We claim to be a movie and TV podcast, yet we haven't done a lot of movies. No, it's been slim in the movies. And I'll tell you, 2025 has not gotten off to a very good start in the movie realm. In fact, I'm way behind my normal pace. I try to watch one new movie a week, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
By the end of the year, and then hopefully it's even more than that. But like that's sort of like a min. And it's middle, end of April, and I've seen, I think, five movies that have come out in 2025.
Yeah, well, it hasn't been a lot to watch.
No, it's been kind of shit. Some of them are now starting to come out either on video on demand or on streaming soon. So like there's a few backloaded that I want to see. Yeah.
And like Until Dawn comes out this month.
Oh, yeah. Until Dawn. I want to see that, too.
Yeah.
But
the Accountant 2.
The Accountant 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Mazzulla said he's going to watch that every off day once it comes out. He's kind of a lunatic, that guy.
He is kind of a weirdo.
So last year he said that he watched The Town like every day. And so now I'm wondering if it's just like a Ben Affleck thing with him.
It might be.
He just loves Ben Affleck.
Maybe he just loves the city of Boston. You know, I know that, yeah. You know, The Accountant doesn't take place in Boston.
No. So that doesn't make any sense then.
No.
No.
Y'all ready for bisque?
Right. Let's get right into it.
Let's get into it.
For the topic du jour.
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
For sure?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. And today...
I
saw a film. As I recall, it was a horror film.
We're talking about the movie Sinners.
Sure are.
Sinners is a 2-hour and 17-minute movie that currently on Rotten Tees has a 98% critic score, 97% audience score.
Yeah.
You begin. As we do on all of our movie and TV reviews, spoiler free. So if you haven't seen it, don't worry. But Ryan, I ask you, Sinners, did you like it?
Well, I told you in our last episode that this movie was a piece of shit, right?
You said that.
That is an absolute lie.
I know.
This movie was fucking fantastic. It was so good.
You're right.
So good. And I'm so glad to have seen it in the theater.
Same.
How do you feel?
Right. I loved this movie. I loved this movie. This is going to maybe sound a little nuts. It's one of the best movies I've seen in forever, and It might be one of my favorite movies I've ever seen in my life.
I know. You're the king of recency bias. I am. That is true, admittedly so. But
yes.
I'm not, just to piggyback off of what you're saying, it might be one of the top five vampire movies I've ever seen.
Not to one up you because
top three,
dude, it might be one of my five favorite movies of all time.
It's so good.
It's fucking incredible. Like, forget vampire movies, which I like. Forget Michael B. Jordan movies, which I like. In fact, the only way this movie could have been better is if there was three Michael B. Jordans in it.
Oh, could you?
Two Michael B. Jordans was good enough. Imagine? Two Michael B. Jordan and the vampire stuff. And then as I'm watching it, I didn't realize how important a role music was going to play. And I was like, oh, Davey's going to fucking lose his mind.
I lost my mind. And they play some of my this is not a spoiler, but some of my favorite Irish tunes.
Yes.
One in particular.
Dude, it was wild. Cause like we joked about it like a year and a half ago when it got announced. There's like, hey, you know, there's gonna be a Michael B. Jordan vampire movie. And I'm like, well, I'm sold. Like it could be anything.
You said something, you pitched it. It was like Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan, Depression era vampires. I was like, yeah, we're in.
I was like, this is going to be incredible. And then for it to live up to and then surpass expectations was wild. I had like a big stupid grin on my face watching the movie in a packed theater on Friday night. I got chills multiple times. Music does that to me. I'm not the musician that you are. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know me, I'm more of a nu metal, ska / grunge guy.
Sure.
I like the blues. I'm a blues. How can you not be a blues?
That's where it all comes from. That's where it all comes from. There's like a coaching tree of music. And the blues, it all comes from that.
Holy shit, though, was it good. And you're right. There was something about it. I felt like it was the sound in the theater was so good. And like, it's a theater I go to all the time. I've seen a bunch of movies in it. So it's not like I went to like a specifically amazing one. Just I'm not a super nerd with this stuff, but like the sound mixing, the sound editing, just everything about it was so crystal clear and like perfectly made.
And like you felt it like in times, like there's a lot of like stomping and a lot of like percussive and you kind of like feel it. And there's this weird scene in the middle that like it gets a little weird, but it works.
Yes. Oh yeah. We'll talk about that. Yeah. There's that's one that specifically stands out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought it was cool, like beyond cool. Like the story is pretty great. The acting,
elements of American Vampire.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like there's some Scott Snyder. Like there's I don't know if he did it on purpose, but there are some like nods to that.
Oh, there is definitely some nods to that. I would say there's also nods to From Dusk Till Dawn.
A lot of that. See, that's going to be the direct comparison.
Yeah.
I think because it's, you know, it takes place in a bar. It's two twins. It's twins. I think because they're the Gecko brothers.
Yeah, they're just brothers.
They're brothers. Like,
that one's like.
But that's the similarities end.
There. That's a little bit more like camp.
Right. And this does what that movie does.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that movie does, this does better.
So we were just talking about Daredevil earlier and how it's kind of, for me, it was a mixed bag where you had like Matt Murdock and Frank Castle, and like those characters are so good. And then a bunch of others, you're kind of like let down. This was like across the board. Cause I go in thinking like, it's going to be hard to hang with Michael B. Jordan, and every character hung with Michael B. Jordan. They were all amazing. Every character was great in this.
Even the kid who plays their little cousin, Preacher Boy, like
Preacher Boy.
It was his first movie. He was awesome. Haley Steinfeld, incredible.
Awesome.
The guy who played Delroy Lindo, unbelievable in this movie.
Delroy Lindo's always good. Jack O'Connell, who played Remick, which we'll get to. Yeah. He was really good. There's a couple other characters that you know, like sort of like the love interests, if you will. They were good. Like some of the friends that Michael B. Jordan had, great. Like, yeah, I was just so like swept up in the world and everything that they were doing. The music was freaking off the charts to the point where like on the way home, like listening to it, like listening to like the soundtrack and shit on the way back. And it is an amazing vampire movie on top of everything else.
All of that. And again, it's leaning into like the whole vampire lore thing without being like goofy about it.
Yeah.
And which I did like the one mechanic that they used over and over and over again. I thought was actually like,
yeah,
smart.
I thought it was really good. And not to go too, this is like a minor. Nah, this isn't really a spoiler. But one thing when there are, because the vampires are in the trailer. So one thing, when there's vampires, there's always that sort of like realization for a group of people that like, oh, we're dealing with vampires. And even that I thought was so perfectly done, because they introduced one character to you that kind of does stuff in that realm. Like somebody would be aware of that.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? And so I thought they did a really nice job with that.
But they didn't go too overboard with it.
No, you know? No. It wasn't hokey or anything like that. I also think if he wasn't already there, this solidifies Ryan Coogler as a director that could make anything, and you have to go see it opening weekend.
Especially like, so you have, we joke about it, but like Scorsese doesn't make a movie without De Niro, right? Usually.
Or Coogler's only made movies with Michael B. Jordan.
And I hope he never stops.
Yeah.
Like the two of them together.
Sick.
Like you could tell there's like this like synergy and like this, like when he writes, he writes for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he wrote this movie, thinking of like, by the way, smokestack twins, one smoke and one stack.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. It sounds stupid, but like when you see them and you're like,
no, it works. Cool. It works. It works so perfectly. But yeah, I was thinking about this too. Like Denny Villeneuve and obviously like Quentin Tarantino and Christopher Nolan are the only other guys, I think, where I don't need to know what the premise is. Like they can just be like, they're making a movie and it comes out on this day and I will go see it.
I'll be there.
And so Coogler, who's younger than both of us, by the way, he has directed 5 movies and they're all great. So he did Fruitvale Station, which was his first movie.
Right. With Michael B. Jordan.
Which
I
watched that one recently because I actually hadn't seen it before somehow. So I knew we were doing this episode. So I watched that and holy smokes. And so that is like based on a true story.
Yep.
That is, and he's from, Coogler's from Oakland. So that was a very personal story to him. That's an incredible movie. It's emotional, but watch that if you haven't. Then obviously he does like these big ass movies. Like he does Black Panther, he does Creed, he does Wakanda Forever, and then now he does Sinners. So Sinners is really, if you look at these 5 films, it's the only one that he kind of created out of thin air.
Yeah. Right? Like
Black Panther, he's handed this massive character. Creed's a massive character. And then he does like the based on a true story movie. So this is the first one that he got to like
just do your thing.
Literally create. And it's, I think it's the best one. Out of the 5, I think it's the best one.
I mean, it has to be. This movie's so fucking good.
It's fucking sick. Yeah, I would probably go, for me, I would go Sinners number 1, Black Panther number 2, Fruitvale Station number 3, Creed 4, and then Wakanda Forever 5.
I would go this one, Black Panther 2, Creed 3, Fruitvale Station 4, Wakanda Forever 5. Yeah. I mean, Wakanda Forever. I mean, people sleep on that movie. That's actually given what happened.
Right.
That's the best anyone could have done.
Yeah. So, and if that's the worst movie you have, and to your point, like the situation that he was in and trying to pull something out of that.
Yeah.
And it's still a good movie. It's just, that was a tough spot to be in. But yeah. So whatever's next for Coogler, sold. I'm in on that. It's obviously a must see. It's right in our queue zone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a post credit scene, so sort of a tip of the cap to the MCU. There's a post credit scene.
I would say it, more of an epilogue, than a post credit scene.
Yeah,
but I was saying to my wife, we saw it together, and I said that actually made the movie. It wasn't like you're looking to something next. It was like that made the movie so much better. Like that one epilogue, like everything that happened in the movie, like galvanized, like in that one scene. And it's like a five minute scene.
Yeah.
With Buddy Guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legendary blues guitarist Buddy Guy.
There was like one kind of question that I even had that I was like, well, wouldn't it? And then I was like, it was answered actually by that, which we'll get
they
to
answer.
They answer it with that. So absolutely incredible. Let's see, anything else non-spoiler before we get to our score?
Pat asked the question. It does not surpass Let the Right One In for me in terms of vampire movies. But goddamn, we are like 1A, 1B, maybe.
Good question. Yeah, we just did this on Friday on Jones and Keefe. We talked about our top five, or no, Dracula just our favorite Dracula movies. And yeah. I said Let the Right One In. This might be recency bias.
You hadn't seen this though yet.
I had not seen Sinners yet. I think I might go Sinners. Honestly, I think I might go Sinners. Now, part of it is because there's so much else going on.
And it is bleak. Like, Let the Right One In is a kind of a bleak.
Sure. Movie. Sure.
You know, this is like,
this is everything. This is so everything. This is all of it. This is so fucking good. I mean, obviously, I'm going to 6 out of 6.
I think you have to. I think that's what's right. I think we're going double barrel sixes.
Dual sixes. We need like a new sound effect for like dual sixes. I don't know what that would be.
What did the boxes used to call it?
Oh yeah, they had something.
The double box thumbs up or something like that.
Yeah, double box thumbs up Magoo. I think it's.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we gotta have something because there's not too many in the great history of the Dork Podcast. They get double sixes. I think it also sets the bar now. Every other movie is going to be chasing this one for the 2025 best movie of the year.
Oh God, yeah.
Do you think Michael B. Jordan will get like Oscar recognition for this?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Just because the horror doesn't get.
They don't like horror movies for the most part. But he is playing two characters.
And you know what I'm pissed about too is that what? Like this is proof that like if you make something good, people will go see it.
Yeah.
Because it's doing good numbers.
Yeah, it's doing well.
Like
yeah.
If you pick something or make something that people like, people will fucking see it.
Yeah.
And don't try to trick us into thinking something's good by like trailers and like flashy shit. Like we know what's good. We, like this is an original, like you said, it's an original, like not based on anything script, out of thin air, and just a true one-off movie that's just fucking good. Like, please so cool. Make more of these.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I think it kind of falls back to the directors. You know, this is a guy that's worth investing in. Like, so for like some of these studios, like, whatever his next idea is, you got to fucking give him a go.
Yeah. You know, I don't care. Yeah. Blank check.
Yeah. Oh, so he also, you remember he has a deal in his contract where after 25 years, he owns the rights to the film. And that came out and you were like.
Are that all of his movies? That's like in his thing?
No, no, just this one.
Oh, hell yeah.
He put it in for this one. And so whatever, I don't know what that means and like how that's going to all work out. But like years from now, he's going to like own the entire movie, which is not common.
Now, yeah. is it just this movie or is it the franchise?
So great question, because I wonder if there will be more of these. I don't know what I just remember reading the article that said it was this movie, but yeah, maybe future versions too.
Yeah,
let's go or not. All right, very good. If you're in the Twitch chat, you can I say fucking Twitch chat because of the radio show. If you're in the YouTube chat, you can let us know what your score is for Sinners. And if you haven't seen it, obviously we highly recommend it. And if you don't want to be spoiled, pause it right now and come back after you've seen the film, because right now we'll get to this.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
So one of the reasons why I say it's like From Dusk Till Dawn is because the first like 40 minutes of From Dusk Till Dawn, you don't know it's a vampire movie. And we obviously knew Sinners was a vampire movie because the trailer and because actually the trailer's like a little off, but we were just told because of fucking internet now, it's like it's a vampire movie. But as you're watching it, you're like, all right, so far there's really no vampires, and I'm super interested in what's going on with these characters. I almost didn't need the vampires.
No, and so that to me, this is I was gonna say earlier, like this is like a 2-hour, 20-minute, 2-hour, 17 minute movie. Does not feel like that because you're so invested in these characters from the start. Like you come in, so it starts with, you know, it's like the next day, and when Preacher Boy comes in and he's all fucked up and he has like the guitar in his hand.
Handle the guitar.
Yeah. And like, it's like one day earlier. So like, all right, I'm in. Like you start, you start that way, and then you meet the Smokestack twins and you're like, this is awesome.
This is so fucking cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the idea too, where they're like, you know, there can be music so good that it sort of like blends the lines of like life and death, and it can like call evil to you. Like that's how fucking good you are at music, that it's like almost like a siren song for like the devil.
And there's like, you know, it's funny. Like I was thinking, like as I was watching this, like there's people like that still around. Like there's people like that who, like, you know, Prince was one of those people who just like, I could like open channel. Like this guy was just, play whatever, like, and it didn't seem hard for him.
Right.
You know, but it's the roots of like these music, the music. And like so I was talking about that weird like scene where like it was like they were talking about like the past and the future and like the, what they call them, like fire keepers and the natives and like all this stuff. And then how they could blend. So they had like break dancers, like it was so cool and such a great visual representation. So like, I think for me, you know, this movie was a delight on like all levels. So like visually, audibly, like the way it was written, like all of these things, like the way it was shot, like it was just so perfect. Like, everything was perfect. And I think the music, like you said, had to play a huge role in that.
Huge. It was like, it was almost a musical because like they did have a few times where like Preacher Boy had a couple of songs, which I loved. Then the girl that he meets, she sings a song,
which is a banger.
Which is they're all heater. The fucking vampires are singing Irish tunes.
Yeah, Rocky Road to Dublin is one of my favorite Irish songs.
It's so good. And it's like, that's just something that I certainly didn't expect to see. But well, anyway,
it's interesting because.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why I really liked the addition and why it made so much sense to make, was it Rennick?
Yes. Yeah.
Why to make him Irish completely made sense was that, you know, you talk about, you know, the blues music and where it comes from, spirituals, which are people working on, and that grew out of that, right? Country music, you know, people like white people music, you know, has its roots in Celtic folk songs. So like that, when you add the banjo, you add the fiddle to like those things, and then some like blues elements to it, that's where you get country music. So rock and roll, rap, like they all come from like different trees, but like the idea of making this guy old world Irish, is actually super fucking smart.
And also the idea that he was so attracted to this type of music, right? Like that, you know, like, so that's what he's used to. We assume he's probably like hundreds of years old,
right?
Like one of these old vampires. And then he ends up in Mississippi and he's like, oh, this is pretty sweet. I'm going to go check this out. So that scene that you're talking about, where they play like multiple different kinds of music, there's like a vision. It's almost like the whole club is like burning down and everything else. I guess maybe some people might think that it's like kind of strange, whereas I thought it was perfect because they talked about how there are different people that have this in there.
Yeah.
And so it sort of showed you all the different versions of it, going back to like all the way back, like forever ago, like original, like African music, all the way up to like it jumps way ahead to like the future with like hip hop and stuff. And it's did this whole wide ranging thing. And you're like, all right, Preacher Boy is one of these guys that has this.
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever time, like if this Remick guy survives another 100 years, like he's going to go find somebody like that. And he's going to go after those people. I thought it was amazing. And the fucking song that they played too out of it was incredible.
And all the music stylings went together.
Yes.
Like they all eventually blended together. And I think that's what Remick is trying to do, is he's trying to get, because he said once, you know, he bites somebody, he gets their memories and he gets, so he can do what he does. And it's easier for him to like that. And again, this is the vampire, the Dracula stuff that they don't tell, like the mind control that they can do.
Yeah.
He can do that. I can do what he can do, it'll make my life, well, my undead life easier by attracting more people by being able to do this.
Well, that was crazy too. So he goes and he finds those two people. And so like there was like a group of like Native Americans that are actually chasing Remick. They chase him to that house, but then you have the fucking two Ku Klux Klan people that are like, get out of here. But then
I love that they were like, all right, fuck you, bye.
Yeah. Like, we're trying to help you.
Yep. See ya.
You don't want that fine. Yeah. But then the three of them show up to the club and then they like have their fucking little fiddles and they're like playing music and shit. Oh my God.
But the mechanic I was talking about earlier, they're like, you have to invite them in.
Yes.
I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
And like, I forget who played Grace.
Yeah.
The Chinese, which she was like, come here, you motherfucker. I was like, oh, everyone in the theaters went, oh,
no, like, don't do it. What are you doing?
Like, all you gotta do is stay in there. They're gonna try to lure you out.
Yeah.
Which is very like, I Am Legend. They do that in I Am Legend, the vampire. Try to lure you out. But man, the action in this was so good.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, like, I can't talk enough about it. Like, I feel like we're gonna miss everything. And even if we're into spoilers right now, there's so much I want to talk about.
I'm trying to think where to even go.
Oh, so coolest thing, or the guy, I'm just remembering parts of the movie that I thought were cool. So he's having the girl watch the truck.
Yeah.
He shoots the guy in the ass. And then the other guy, the kid's just standing there and he shoots him in the leg. And he's like, well, why'd you do that? You didn't have to do that. He goes, because I didn't want you saying that you almost got away with that.
So good.
So fucking cool.
They were so cool. Like, the introduction to them. Also, how did you think it worked with, we've seen in other movies, the same actor playing multiple characters, and when they're on the screen together, I feel like it was never wonky. I feel like they did a good job of, like, they even did scenes where they like specifically were showing you how good they were at it. Like, I forget if they like,
no, there was one, they were on the stairs and like one was above the other, and it wasn't that like we are right now, like split down the middle. It was like they couldn't be like, one was in the foreground, one was in the background, and they still did it. Like, they was like talking over his shoulder. They weren't like side by side. He was like behind him.
Yeah.
And they were like still making eye contact.
Sick.
Like, it's crazy. Like, how good. And, you know, usually you can, I was of the belief, and now this might just be me, like, you believe, like, you watch like the Nutty Professor, for example, everyone around the table, you're like, oh, that's just Eddie Murphy. That's just Eddie Murphy. I saw these as two completely different characters.
Because they were different. Like, they were clearly different.
But at no point was I like, oh, that's just Michael B. Jordan twice. Like, I bought in already that those are two completely different actors. Because they moved differently. Like, they spoke differently. Like, and it was subtle.
Yeah.
And, like, how they interacted with each other was really cool, too.
It felt like Smoke was, I know they're twins, but it felt like he was, like, a little bit more of, like, the, almost like the older one.
Yeah.
Like, the more mature one.
Yeah.
They'd both been through a lot. So let me ask you this. So they tell this, the story, as the story goes, they left Mississippi, they went to Chicago. Obviously the whole country's racist at that time. So they just sort of encounter like a different type of like racism. Mm-hmm. Somebody makes the point that they were working with Al Capone. Do you think that's true? Or do you think that's just a story that they told?
Because it was in the time of like prohibition, right? So they were, all of those people were moving booze around, like, that was like their big, by the way, that's how the Kennedys got their money too, but people forget
that's
where they got their money.
Do you think that they,
and so they mentioned it, that like they were taking beer and whiskey from the Irish and they were taking wine
from the Italians, so they stole and they had to get out of town?
Yes.
Why do you think they went back to Mississippi instead of just going somewhere else altogether?
Because they wouldn't chase them there.
You think maybe
you can hide there, like they can't hide again. If you go north, like if you, like at the time, you know, with Jim Crow and like all that stuff, like you can't hide.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to Mississippi, you can hide.
And I love like how they like develop the characters in this, where you get some of the information from them, but you get a lot of information from other people talking about them.
Right.
Like, everybody, when they show back up, it'd been like 7 years or whatever, but when they show back up, everybody knows who they are. Everyone's heard stories about them and they're like, oh shit, like, let's not fuck around with,
like, these, you guys made it out. Like, you made it out of here and you're big time now. And they're like, yes and no.
Outside. So they both have ladies that they left. Mm-hmm. In the case of Smoke, I mean, that's a real long relationship. They have the backstory about they lost a son, and what was her name? Annie, great character. And this is what I mentioned before, how she clearly is like a little, at least in that world where you could tell that she might be aware of like vampires, right? Like she's the one that has like protection spells and like things like that. I don't know if he calls her a witch or he calls her something. And it's like, she would know. And that's why, like, at first, because that's important and that can lose you, I feel like, in a vampire story, is like if people, you can't immediately pick up all the things, but like she kind of sniffed it out, but it made sense that she sniffed it out because everybody else is like, we're not expecting vampires. But she's like, well, why do you need an invitation in? Remember? And like, so that sort of starts
the whole thing. Yeah, she's the one who like picks up on it. It's like, you've been coming in and out of here all day. Why do you need me to tell you to come in?
Just let me in.
The whole thing with like the mojo bag too, I thought was really cool. Like that's it's a nice nod to like that, like, you know, West African, East Indian, like the almost voodoo, like, you know, you know, the idea. And their child's grave had like the, it was like a bottle of milk and it had like something else in it. So it's like very,
But it's just like, what, I mean, what a whole thing, like the conversation that they have together, you're like, all right, that just sort of like gives you a whole backstory on both of those characters. Meanwhile, Stack was with Haley Steinfeld for a little
Mary.
And Mary's mom watched over them after like his parents died or whatever. So like they have like a long sort of connection.
And there was a great conversation between Stack and Mary where they were like, why did you leave? Like, I knew you were always leaving. And he's like, basically, like, there's nothing. There's no way I could keep you safe. Mm. There's no way that like you being with me ends with you being safe.
Right. Right.
And in the end, you know, they figure it out, but it was just, it was his reason for leaving was more like he didn't give a shit. It was more like, no, like I wanted you to be safe and that's the only way.
Well, and then that's sort of the other wild thing about this movie and what stands apart from like other vampire movies is then you introduce Remick and like some of the shit that he's saying to these characters where you're like, with the shit that they're facing in 1932 Mississippi, are they not better off as a vampire?
Well, I mean, that's his point. They're coming to take this from you. He's like, I know that guy was coming back. And he said that they are going to take it from you regardless. There's nothing that you can do about it. Except.
Well, that's the other thing is they buy like, they buy that place from like the head of the Ku Klux Klan and it's like murder floor or whatever. It's like this disgusting place. It's
a sawmill. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But yeah. So like, I don't know. He kind of is trying to make a point to him. Like,
and hey man, that last scene, you know, you get rid of all these vampires, you take them out like one by one and you're still not fucking done. Like these guys are still going to fucking come after you.
The next day, the light comes up and, well, he also saves, so Smoke saves Preacher Boy. Preacher Boy is about to die in the water. He saves him. Then the sun comes out, so that blows out a bunch of these guys. Preacher Boy gets back home, sort of where the movie begins, and he's back with his dad in church, at least for the moment. And then Smoke is like, all right, I now need to like protect this place from all these KKK guys that show up. And that's a wild shootout scene. But then when you look at it, you're like, everybody, with the exception of Preacher Boy, gets got. Everybody goes down in this.
But you don't, and again, like I was so wrapped up in everything that was going on, I never saw Stack and Mary get away.
So this is the one question I had before the post credits was there's a scene where Stack is on the inside, and like, so yeah, you mentioned Grace calling everybody in, and then it's just like a massacre. You're trying to like keep up on the screen, like who's alive, who's getting smoked. And then Smoke is inside. So they've already been invited. Not everybody's dead yet. And then he takes off. And I'm like, why would he take off? Like, he's a vampire now. And it's like, oh, it's because. So if you guys missed the post-credit scene, basically.
Oh, yeah.
It takes place 1992. And Stack and Mary are still together.
Oh, and he's got that Cosby sweater, the Kooky. Like Cosby sweater on with the high top fade, like looks so unbelievable.
Cool. So cool.
So fucking cool.
And so they show up and they see Preacher Boy, who obviously is the only guy who made it out. So he
played
is
played by Buddy Guy.
Played by Buddy Guy. Mm-hmm. And so he is aged quite a bit. He's like, you know, you find out that he goes to Chicago and he's like, you know, kicking ass up there. And they basically talk to him and they're like, hey, you know, smoke couldn't kill me, but he said, you know, the only way he'll let me go is like if I don't mess around.
Promise to stay away.
Yeah, promise to stay away from you. And he's like, you know, basically like, do you want to like live forever? Do you want to become a vampire? And he's like, no, I don't.
And he's like, he's gives the, like, he gives him like to see, like, you don't have much longer. Like, you can smell it on him. And he's like, yeah, basically gives him the choice, which is like so fucking cool. Like,
it's wild. But you're right. Like, one of the things that jumps out is you're like, all right, so Stack and Mary have been together for
60 years,
but they look like they're like in control.
Yeah.
So like they've kind of figured out how to live that way, which also leads me to think Sinners 2 could just be those two for fucking 60 years, which
Well, that's where I was talking. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that's like American Vampire.
The American Vampire. Like, you have them in every decade. Like, the next one is like, you know,
40s, 50s, 60s.
World War II, yeah, you know, like all that stuff. And, you know, God
damn. How cool would that be?
That'd be so, and you could like disco vampires in the 70s and like, you know, how, you know, they navigate that whole thing. But I love that that put a bow on everything. Like that epilogue was like the perfect thing, because there was this awesome talk that they have where he was like, hey, just so you know, like that up until the sun went down, or like for a few hours, like that was the best day of my life.
Yeah.
Like being with you guys and like doing that. And like, he mentions that was my last day with my brother. That was the last time I saw the sun. And he's like, that was for a few hours, like the first time I felt free.
Yeah.
Like that. And that was like, just like the feeling of, you know, what they were trying to do. And they didn't have money to like do that forever. They were just trying to have, as you say, like, here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and so the weird thing is like, that was all of their best day.
Yeah, no, it was. And that ending for Smoke is like,
it's very Gladiator.
Very Gladiator. Yes, it is. It's very Gladiator. So he fucking kills like 20 racists, kills them all. But then he also gets killed. And then he sees his wife and his baby like in the afterlife. And it like kind of like crosses over there. And you're like, oh my God.
And I mean, that again, I mean, that it comes down to like, you know, that's what he wanted. Like he could have left. He could have left with Preacher Boy, but that's not.
No.
He wasn't going to let anybody take it. And he did say that if any of your guys, by the way, let's bring back the word Peckerwood.
Peckerwood. Sure. Peckerwood. Nothing wrong with that.
I think that's my favorite anti-white.
Peckerwood. You know? Also pretty crazy where Preacher Boy gets out of there, goes home, and his dad's like, hey, just like stay
Let
here.
Go.
No, he's like, I got to go. I got to go do
Let
this.
Let go of the guitar.
He's not letting go of the guitar. He is.
And I thought it was awesome, too, that they were like, they told him that it was like some famous blues player's guitar, and I was like, no, that was our dad's guitar.
Yeah.
Which again, that throwaway line is why they were telling him before all the shit hit the fan that like, you're not going to be a musician. Smoke and Stack were like, you're not going to be a musician. And then you find out with this one line that like, they hated their father and he was a musician.
Yeah.
So like, you're going to do this once, like make some money and then you're done. You're not going to be a musician. You're better than that.
Did you think those guys, the Smoke and Stack, did they think that that club was going to be like a long running thing?
No, because remember they were talking about like, we got 2 months of this.
Yeah. They were going to head out somewhere else probably.
And they're going to run out of booze and they can't get any more.
Yeah.
They stole all of it.
That was a good scene with Delroy Lindo, where like they're trying to convince him to come play with them. And he's like, nah, I'm good. And then they give him the Irish beer, and he's like, well, yeah, I think I'm kind of in.
But there was like, there was Delta awesome
Slim.
Line too.
Delta Slim, Slim his name.
Another great name. When he was like, you know, I've looked the devil in the eyes. He knows where I am. Like, and he's, you know, I've seen the devil, and he knows exactly where, if he wants to come find me, he knows where I am.
So good.
Yeah.
I also love the line with, so we get like, you get three love scenes as well in this.
A lot of oral too.
A lot of oral. Yep. A lot of Colonel Angus, which is good.
Yep.
So I like that because vampire movies, 9 times out of 10, are also a little bit more sexual than like other horror movies would be.
Very sexy. Draculas are sexy.
Dracula's like fucking. And so did this movie. And so I like the line Preacher Boy is hitting on that one girl. And she's like, I'm married. And he goes, happily? And she goes, watch yourself. And I was like, oh boy. What a good line. I'm married. Happily?
Happily?
Happily? I'm not sure about that.
And then he gets this.
He got it. He went down on her for a good while, probably.
And he's listening to the door, and Stack says something like, he found that button.
Yeah, because he was explaining to him how to do it, and then he goes and does it, and then it's like, was it Grace? He's like, Grace, go get Preacher Boy. And she like walks by the door and hears what's going on. She's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Oh, but like any good, whether it be vampire movie or just horror movie in general, when they have like the group of people together, that it's like them versus.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Like
it's that wide shot of just everybody. Yeah.
So like once you're inside, so that's another, I guess, From Dusk Till Dawn type of thing but you have like inside. So you have all these vampires outside. You have, I think it's like 6 or 8 people inside, but like I'm rooting for each one of them. Like it's Smoke and his wife. It's Stack and his girlfriend. It's Preacher Boy and his like new lover. Friend. It's the Asian couple that were there that were like helping him out. And you're like,
Delroy Lindo and Cornbread.
And I'm like, I want all these fucking guys to make it out. Like, I love these guys. But then what's amazing is that scene that you were talking about with the Rocky Road to Dublin, where you're like, the quote unquote, like villains of this story are this big group of vampires. And they're out there having a blast. They're out there fucking singing and dancing. And they're just like ready to rip.
Yeah. Well, it's like kind of like that hive mind. Cause there's that, you know, they feel what he feels. Cause then whoever created you, there's like that bond.
Yeah.
You know, I like I wonder like in that setting, so they said like you and what's her name says, you know, they don't die when he dies, like you got to get them one by one.
Yeah,
and most of them get burned up with Remick like in the sun, but like, the other two get away. But I wonder, they're like not being controlled by anything anymore. So are they like free agents kind of
once Remick goes? I also wonder, there's got to be a story as to why Remick is solo. Because he clearly probably had a crew at one point.
So and how like, did he get there?
How does he show up there by himself?
Right. And so the other thing I like too is like he could kind of fly, but they never really showed it.
Dude, I'm glad you brought that up. So there was a few jump scares in this.
Yep.
The first one, as you can imagine, rattlesnake got me, and I'm in a packed theater. I'm by myself. Well, I personally am by myself. I'm sitting next to two fucking random dudes.
Yeah.
And like, they were probably laughing at me because I jumped out of my chair. That first rattlesnake scene, jump. But then, like a half hour later, there's the scene where, is he chasing after Mary when Remick like leap flies?
Yeah. She tries to run back towards the place, and you just see him.
He does like a jump leap.
Yeah,
this fucking guy next to me.
And then it cuts.
I think shit his pants. Like he fucking flew out of his seat. I was like, "Yeah, dude, gotcha."
I love the red eyes too.
Yeah, yeah.
The red eyes. When Cornbread's out taking a pee, and you could hear like the voices and stuff, which is you ever heard those stories? You're a big cryptid guy. Like if you're in the I know it's not anywhere near there, but like the Appalachian Mountains. Like if you hear someone say your name, you don't answer.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't or hear laughing. Don't go near it. Like there's a whole like fucked up shit that goes on there.
Not good.
Yeah.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
I legit can't wait to watch this movie again.
And I don't know what theater you saw it in, but like the voices when they were talking to Coinbread were like all over
ping-ponging around. Yeah, this will be a good home theater movie too, for sure. And the music cranks.
Oh, so good.
God damn. Also, was the fucking the real racist guy that sold in the place, was his name Hogwood?
I think so. Yeah.
I guess it was Hogwood.
Yes, it was.
All right. Anyway. Anything else?
The clan's dead. Yeah. They are now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
They got him. Yeah, what an absolute delight. I went in with high hopes, and holy smokes, was it even better than I thought.
So unreal. Good.
Unreal.
Surpassed all my expectations.
Same.
Gonna see it again. I rarely do this, so I'm probably gonna see it again.
Dude, I kind of have to. You know,
I saw it in a good theater, but I didn't see it in IMAX, and this was shot for IMAX.
You're right. Yeah, Coogler's one of these guys, right, that uses like film or
70mm film, yeah.
Yeah. God damn.
I know.
God damn. What a treat. All right, what do we got next week? We got Andover or God.
Yeah, why are you doing that?
I got like a real
Andor.
I got a mental block. Andor. Season 2, episodes 1-3. Oh, and guess what? The 20th anniversary, Star Wars Revenge of the Sith.
It's big Star Wars day. It's Star Wars for us leading up to May the 4th.
That's right. And then Thunderbolts. We'll do Thunderbolts.
And then we'd have, what's the other? Friendship? Is that coming up too?
Friendship is, yeah, I think the week after Thunderbolts. Yeah, so we're turning back into a movie.
So we podcast. Do Andor.
Yep.
3 weeks in a row. Yep. And then leading up to May the 4th. And then we have Thunderbolts.
Friendship. And then Dork 500. Jeez. Oh, we should probably do Tales of the Underworld at some point. And then we also will when The Last of Us is done, we'll do that too.
Oh boy.
Taylor, if you're joining us late, yes, you did miss the Dork scores. Davey and I both went full six out of six.
Full sixes.
Taylor's going 5.5.
Well,
that's fine.
You're wrong. It's a six.
We won't kick you out. We won't kick you out, but it's a six.
Yeah.
Oh, another idea I have. This is for probably like late summer, fall, the 25 best movies of the last 25 years. So all the best movies since 2000.
Quarter century team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously this is recency bias. This would be in my top 25.
Might be.
This is fucking awesome. But yeah, 25 for 25. This is a good year to do a lot of those things.
Yeah.
Best shit since 2000.
Oh man, I'm just looking at Jesus, that's going to be tough.
Okay. You're right.
The Dark Knight, Inception, No Country for Old Men.
Well, you know what you can probably, you know what you can do? I'm not putting that to padded in the top 25. Was it last year? We did our 50 best dork movies, like top 50.
Yeah.
So basically take that list, take everything out that was pre-2000, and that's a good place to start.
I know, but even then, like,
I don't know.
I think movies that we didn't even like, Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, that's good. Parasite.
Whiplash.
Yeah,
Whiplash. Lord of the Rings. Like none of that shit we talked about.
Yeah.
A lot of Tarantino. Arrival. We didn't talk about that either.
Oh, Sinners, that Creed, Black Panther, Black Panther 2, Fruitvale Station.
Strine Coogler is what it is.
My top five Coogler movies.
There have only been five. Doesn't matter.
Only got five. I don't care.
Yep.
They're all excellent.
Well, this is his best movie.
I agree. And it's like, that's saying something, though, because his movies are awesome.
Because Black Panther exists.
Yep. Black Panther is a movie that was made.
But doesn't this one, like, I know now, don't you want an American Vampire movie adaptation even more?
I do. Do you? Oh, let me ask you this before we
By the way, who plays Skinner Sweet? I know it's right there for you.
Steven Dorff?
Nope.
Ryan Gosling?
Austin Butler.
No, I don't like Austin Butler.
But like as Skinner Sweet, like as he looks?
Yeah. I guess Steven Dorff might be too old. Although you're going to have to do let's see. Who would be a good Skinner Sweet?
Austin Butler. It's right there. You know, I'm not wrong.
Next time Fryer and Joe have Snyder on, we should have them ask him.
Oh, here's Charlie Hunnam.
Hunnam could be a good Skinner Sweet.
He could be.
What about, was it Pearl? What's the main lead, female lead that?
Oh, what's Mia Goth?
You could do Mia Goth. No, Anya Taylor-Joy?
No, I thought you were talking who was in Pearl.
No. Pearl. Isn't her name Pearl?
Yeah. No, I thought you meant the movie Pearl.
No. I know that. No, I know. But I'm saying like, because she's a massive part of that whole thing too.
Let me see. So who could play like any... like any age, like who would look good? Like, as you look in any decade,
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I was gonna say Jenna Ortega.
I guess you could do Jenna Ortega. You could. Do you want a Sinners 2? They should do a Sinners 2.
Hell
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should.
Hell yes, I do. And it should pick up right where this left off.
So it should be, and then I would say do a time jump. Not all the way to 92, but do a time jump to your point. Pick a decade, pick a fun decade. And then what you can do is they obviously wouldn't meet Preacher Boy, but you should have at least on in the background something that like points out like how he's like fucking taken off.
Well, he says that we have all your records, like we kept all your records.
Yeah.
And they sound like shit now, but like,
yeah. I should do something with that. But like, oh my God, what a fucking awesome movie that would be with those
and two. Them kind of like assembling. They go back to Chicago and there's like they try to and they mess with like the mob.
Yeah, they could go back. They could fucking kill Al Capone for all we know.
That's right.
God, that'd be cool as hell. Haley Steinfeld crushed it.
She absolutely did.
It was good.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Primally Pure just launched their Blue Tansy Body Butter, and it's more than a moisturizer. It's a full-body exhale. This is their best-selling body butter formula, reimagined with calming Blue Tansy. It's a rich, whipped body moisturizer packed with barrier-building grass-fed tallow to deeply nourish dry, compromised skin. The texture is cloud-soft but ultra-replenishing. It melts in, protects against moisture loss, and leaves skin visibly smoother and more supple. And the scent? Soft Blue Tansy, lavender and sandalwood. Fresh, subtle, and elevated. If you already love the Blue Tansy deodorant or body oil, this is the perfect next step.
All right, guys, let us know what you thought about Sinners and whatever else is on your mind. And we'll also start to compile some Dork 500 questions, too. We'll put out the call for that as we go forward. It's a couple of weeks away. Hit us up at Dork Podcast on Twitter and Instagram and follow and subscribe on YouTube. We stream these live on Monday nights. They're always available for you after the fact. And email us anytime at dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Dave, anything else?
This movie's awesome.
Yeah.
Go see it. See it twice. So nice. You make sure that they make another one. Go see it twice. So they make another one.
Just send them money. They deserve it for this one. All right. Promise me a million times over, you'll never do another rule.
I'm not doing that. No. Fuck off.
All right. The hashtag Dork Podcast.